Hi, welcome to your staff file checklist for nonprofits. In this introduction video, I'm going to help you get started with the checklist that you can download where you're watching this video. And I'm going to share with you a few fields or areas where using the checklist can be helpful for you and your operations. And first of all, I just wanted to share a little bit about who I am, because I made this checklist based on my own experiences of more than 25 years in different nonprofit organizations, working in different positions in those organizations as a volunteer, as a paid staff, for example, a project coordinator or a finance manager, as a crisis manager, but also as a board member unpaid. So I've seen different nonprofit organizations from different points of view, so to say. And in all this time, I have encountered a lot of things that I'm now trying to help you avoid if you would follow my checklist that you can download here where you're watching this video, as I said before. So yeah, you can find out a bit more about me if you browse on my website where you are at the moment, I guess. And maybe you have already looked around a little bit. So you can find there that I am writing a weekly blog about anything to do with nonprofit management, organizational management, human resource management, finance management, but also fundraising. All of the things that I have acquired experience in and expertise on over the years in my nonprofit career so far. So that is what I want to share through my blogs that are appearing every week on my website. If you want to keep track of when those blogs appear, you can subscribe to my weekly Monday Motivations. You can find sign up box on my website. And you can also, if you would like to be more in touch with me and join my free online trainings once in a while, you can join my free Facebook group, How to Become a Professional and Resilient Nonprofit with Susanne Bakker. So that way you can find out a little bit more about me and my experience and what I produce and share. And I want to highlight that, of course, I am also very interested in hearing a little bit more about you. So I'm very eager to hear how you are using the checklist, what is useful for you, what is maybe from your point of view missing, so that I can, for example, in the future, make a new version that is improved in the areas where you guys feel that something is missing or something isn't presented clearly. But I'm also, of course, interested in hearing some other stories about how your work is going and what are the challenges that you face, so that I can see whether what I am sharing is actually helpful to you in addressing those challenges and overcoming those challenges, or whether there is a need that I am not yet addressing. And if I can, I might like to do that, of course. And I know I cannot do everything. So if you have a question that I cannot help you with, I will always, of course, also say that honestly. And if I can, I will refer you to somebody who I think can help you in a better way than I can. But in any case, if you have any questions about the checklist and about the building blocks on the checklist that we're going to be looking at in more detail in the following 8 videos, or about any of the elements that are part of the building blocks, please never hesitate to contact me at the email address that you can see here, so that I can try to answer your question or help you get unstuck in case you are stuck. I would really, really like it if you would contact me in case of such questions. And I would really like to help you if I can and where I can. So never, never hesitate really to contact me here via my email address, or to post something in the Facebook group so that other people can also share their experiences from in the group, or that they can also benefit from the answer that I might provide there. So looking forward to seeing you there in the group, seeing you maybe on my newsletter list, and hopefully seeing you in my inbox with questions and stories about how the checklist works for you, or what additional questions you might have about it. So let's now look at the checklist, because that's why we're here, right? So I just want to show you, this is the checklist that you can download here. If you would print it and roll it up, it could look like this. And you see here that it consists of building blocks. Contract, leave, end of contract are building blocks. And for each of those building blocks, I have made a separate video that you can watch separately whenever convenient to you. And in those videos, I will explain the different elements that are part of that building block so that you can understand what it means, even though probably everything is quite self-explanatory. But I'm just going to be highlighting in those videos some of the important things to be aware of when looking at some of those elements. So yeah, let's now take a step back and think about, okay, a checklist. What is a checklist and why would I like to use it? So first of all, be sure, and I'm sure that you know this already, it's not rocket science. A checklist is just a tool, right? It's a tool that can help you to make visible where you are at a certain point. For example, when it comes to your to-dos, you probably have a to-do list and there you are also ticking off things that you have done. Then it shows very clearly the things that are still to be done. And of course, you might also, for example, be preparing a project proposal. And in the frame of that project proposal, maybe you need to provide certain documentation about your organization outside of the main text. So you might need to submit also some annexes. And you are usually also keeping track of the completeness of all those annexes and documents by way of a checklist. So a checklist is a very practical tool and it can be very helpful, but it is only a tool to make visible something that you know, like the to-dos or the documents to be submitted, and that you just want to make sure that you don't overlook any small item when you are focusing on other things. Yeah, so that is first of all good to know. But at the same time, that's also its power, right? Because if you know that your checklist is complete and your checklist is correct, then following it will also help you make sure that you are complete and correct in whatever it is that you're doing, whether that's your to-do list or your documents to be submitted to your donor, etc., etc. And the same is true for your staff file. But if you have a good checklist that can that lists all the elements that you need to collect in your staff file, then it can help you make sure that your staff file is complete and correct and up to date almost all the time. And yeah, you might be wondering, like, why would I like to do that? What is a staff file? Isn't it documents that when I need them, I can go and look for them? Yes, you can, and I've seen that happen a lot. But at the same time, if you have your staff file complete, then you can also avoid some discussions, disagreements, or even fights sometimes about issues that are really very easy to avoid. So, for example, I have seen discussions about leave days left when a staff member wanted to take leave, for example, around the end of the year or in summer holidays or something like that. And when they wanted to take, let's say, 6 weeks leave, and the boss said, you don't have that number of days left, so you cannot take 6 weeks of leave. And then the employee would say, no, that's not true, because I did overwork and I did this and that. And yeah, I did apply for leave, but then I didn't take it. So yeah, I really do have those days left and I need it because I need a rest. And who are you? And yeah, you probably have also seen such disagreements or be part of such disagreements in your life, in your nonprofit, or even maybe outside of your nonprofit. So you probably get the idea of what can happen if you are not recording leave requests and leave request approvals and leave taken very carefully. And if you are not recording also arrangements around overwork, for example, and compensation of extra work done through leave days and so on and so forth. So this is something, if you record that, if you have that in your staff file, if you make it a habit of keeping that up to date and putting all the information relevant to that person and to their leave and overwork in their file, then you can avoid such discussions at the stage when you don't want to have those discussions, when a person is totally overworked and really in need of a break, where you also think, I am also in need of somebody who is going to work at the moment. Yeah, so this is something you can easily avoid. There's other issues that also frequently can lead to misunderstandings or disagreements. For example, if your staff is using a laptop that belongs to the organization when they are working from home, for example, or maybe they have a phone from the organization so that they're always reachable. And then at some point, sometimes the question comes up, whose laptop or whose phone is that anyway? And how is your staff allowed to use that? Can they also have their private documents on their work laptop? And if they have private documents on their work laptop and you ask them to bring in the laptop to work because you want to give it to somebody else, can they then protest this or not? So these are also kinds of discussions that you can avoid if you have good arrangements that are signed off on and that you keep in your staff file with the person concerned. Yeah, so it's this checklist can help you to make sure that you can avoid such kind of discussions and disagreements. That is one very practical reason why you might like to use this checklist. And this is also one of the things that I have seen happen a lot and for which I wanted to make this checklist for my own use in my current work in different nonprofits as well. So the other reason why you might like to use this checklist is quite not so practical. It's more like about your dream to be a professional nonprofit organization, for example. Maybe you will have a dream that you are a very professional organization with a professional team and professional management and a professional way of dealing with your stakeholders and the people you serve and your donors. And as part of that professionalism that you want to build, you want to have professional systems backing that up. And part of the professional systems are making sure that you have all your documentation about your staff complete and correct and up to date. And the checklist can help you making sure of that. And then, of course, there's also something in between, very practical and more intrinsic motivation reasons why using this checklist can be helpful. For example, to make sure that you have all the things that you are required to have or to check by law. For example, in most countries, you are required by law to make sure that your employee is who they say they are. Yeah, so you are required by law to check their identity, to check their ID against the information that they provide about themselves to you, like their full name and date of birth, for example. And you might be required by law to keep a record of the fact that you checked this. And then another person from outside your organization who might want to have access to information that you could very easily provide if you had it in your staff file could be an auditor, for example, an auditor who is doing a project audit or an auditor who is doing an annual audit as part of your annual accounts process. So an auditor who is doing, for example, a project audit will need to look at the expenses. So they will need to look at the personnel expenses, like the cost that you reported in regard of salaries. So they will want to see that those persons whose salaries you reported are really employed by you, that they are employed for the positions that you are reporting them on, and that they have the salary that you are reporting, for instance. Yeah, so these are things that the auditor also needs to check in order to be able to sign off on the project audit report or the project expenditure verification report. So these are all different reasons that you can have to want to be sure that you have your staff list, your staff file, sorry, complete. I got distracted for a moment there. So these are different kinds of reasons why you would like to have your staff file complete and correct and up to date. And this is where the checklist can be a tool to help you with that. that is what I wanted to say. Sorry about that. So yeah, you will see in each of the shorter videos that I will always focus on different checks that you need. So first of all, before you get started with this checklist, I think the best thing is for you to watch all the 8 videos about the different building blocks and to make sure that you understand what I'm trying to explain to you there. And again, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me. And then you need to check in your own context, what is the information that you need? Maybe there's some information in the checklist that you don't need, and maybe there are some elements in the checklist missing for things that you do need, or maybe they are not clearly enough written out for you. So then you would need to make your own checklist or your own adaptation of your checklist to make sure that the checklist actually has everything that you need to check. And here I would like to give you a tip that maybe there is information on the checklist that you don't need at the moment. For example, maybe you don't have any organizational laptops at the moment that people can bring when they're traveling or that they can use for working from home. But that might be something that you might, for example, purchase in the next 1 or 2 years. So in that case, I would recommend you to keep it on the list just to make sure that when this becomes relevant to you, you still have it on your list and you can't forget about it. So another check that you will need to do for some of the elements that I'm going to explain to you is to look into information that you can store, that you're allowed actually to collect and store, and also to look into how you can store this. And that's also more in general for the whole staff file, of course, because you need to make sure that the information there is treated very carefully and confidentially. And of course, depending on your exact situation, there is a bigger need for that or not. If you are working in a very sensitive, on a sensitive topic, a taboo topic, in an environment that is very threatening to people on your team, then of course keeping the fact that you are contracting somebody very confidential is more important than in a situation where it's less sensitive, for example. So this is something you need to look into as well, in general for your organization, but also for the different types of information, whether you are allowed to store them, and if so, how you must store them, how you can make sure that access is limited, and so on. And also, I'm going to be asking you to look at what is the information that you must provide to your employee about the checklist, about the file, about who has access to the file, but also about some of the elements that we will look into in the different building blocks. There is information that you need to provide to your staff and to make sure that they have it and that they sign for receiving this as well. And then that will be part of your staff file again. Okay, so how can you get started now? First of all, of course, to get started, it's important to make a list of the staff you have, the volunteers and the interns, all the people who would be governed by your human resource policy, if you would have one. And if you don't have one, just imagine that you have one. In most cases, this would be applicable to staff, volunteers and interns. And then make sure that you have somebody who's responsible for collecting all the information for the staff files and making sure it's up to date. And then also make sure that you clarify to that person and to your staff who has access to this information and how other persons can get access to it. So, for example, if I am an auditor and I want to have certain information, who must I ask for approval for getting that information, for example, and in which case might I not get access to that information? For example, if I'm not an auditor, but if I'm just somebody else, a colleague saying, oh, I would like to know what the salary is of my colleague, then you might want to clarify that this is not something that you're going to be sharing with other people, for instance. So then I think it's time to make sure that you watch those 8 videos and make sure that you list all the information that you need for all the different building blocks, and also list the things that you may still need to check, whether you are allowed to collect that information or whether you are required to, etc., etc. Then make sure that you have a cover sheet for every person on your list, so every staff member, volunteer or intern, so that you can actually tick off the data or the documents that are present in the file, and you can use the downloadable sheet that you can find here on this page, where I added at the top of the sheet space for adding a name and a personnel number, and at the bottom of the sheet I added space for signing off and dating the cover sheet, but you can also make your own, of course. And then, of course, it's time to start collecting information and to make a plan for how you can make sure that this information remains up to date. And also, as a tip, I would like to highlight here that you can also ask the person responsible for this process and for keeping everything up to date to see how they might create synergies with other processes in your organization. For example, if you are preparing a project proposal, sometimes you need to also submit CVs of key personnel that is going to be working on that project. And you may ask your staff to prepare an updated CV for that purpose. That updated CV could be useful to have on file. And so it would be good if there could be some synergy between that project proposal development process and the staff file completeness process. And that is something that the person responsible for the staff file can maybe think about and can find ways how they can make sure that they are aware of other processes in your organization that are generating information that they actually would like to have or would need to have. So this is basically your to-do. And now we are back here. Like, I just want to highlight again that I am here for you. So if you have any questions about the 8 building blocks or any of the elements that are presented within the 8 building blocks, please do not hesitate to contact me at my email address that you can see here. And also don't hesitate to let me know how the checklist works for you in general, and maybe what are insights you got from the checklist, or maybe things that are missing from your point of view on the checklist. I'm really eager to hear from you how it's working for you and to learn from you how I can be of better service, if that is within my reach, of course. And as I said in the beginning of this video, you're always welcome to join my free Facebook group. You can find the link here on the page, and there you can exchange with peers and with me about all issues to do with nonprofit professionalization processes and resilience. So I'm looking forward also to seeing you there and to hearing from you there and in my mailbox. And for now, the only thing I want to say to you is well done. You have been going through this video, the first video of the series, and I think that is a very good step on your part towards becoming that professional organization that you dream of being. And I wish you really the best of luck with the next steps. And see you in the next video. Bye for now.